Every year, as I prepare for the Christmas services around about August, I read through the Christmas readings, and every time something fresh strikes me. And this time it is the theme of glory. It's in the Luke readings we've just had, and it will be in the John reading we will have in a moment. But what is glory? We still use the word, but what does it mean? Well, one form of glory is, of course, beauty. When things are beautiful. But that can cause a problem for some of us. As I head into, or should I say wade into, the midlife crisis of the middle 40s, the issue of the glory of beauty can be a problematic one. As I get older, I have, for instance, an increasing problem with reflective surfaces. In my 20s, I could handle a mirror, given enough warning, not too early in the morning. And if I angled myself right, I could look sort of all right. And even convince myself that I might be considered bearable by someone else. So that was the high point. Then I hit my 30s, and really mirrors had to be covered over. I was happy, though, with shop windows. I quite like shop windows, walking down from a little distance. That vague reflection where I could imagine that I looked all right if only you got close enough. And now I'm in my 40s. And to be honest, I just need to keep my head down. Even passing cars can be a hazard as their shiny cleanness reflects me as they drive past at speed. A really low point was when I went to Berlin with my eldest son. And it was winter in Berlin, and winter in Berlin is really very cold. And at one point, he turned to me and he started laughing when he looked at me. This is not an unusual moment in our family, but he started laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" And he said, "Dad," he said, "the wrinkles in your face have joined up to make a complete circle." So the wrinkles in my forehead have decided to become allies with my cheeks and then round the front. My face looked less like a face and more like a planned view of the Nürburgring. So I am struggling with the beauty and the glory of beauty. But maybe, I thought, maybe it's just some exceptionally vain. But then I looked at our world. And you have to realise that the search for the glory of beauty is one that is ripe in our world. The whole selfie. The selfie is a remarkable thing, isn't it? We don't trust other people to take photos of ourselves anymore. We need to choose for ourselves the exact moment when we take that photo. In fact, when I was in Vienna with my other son, somebody asked me to take a photo of them, and I was sorely tempted to take a selfie and then hand it back, but I didn't do that. But you know the selfie, to try and look good, I have to be in control, and so I get the pose just right, the pout. Have you tried the pout? As far as I can work out, what you need to do is imagine that you're trying to suck a very, very thick milkshake through a very small straw, and then you get the look, which is so beloved of the selfie. And it's not just the selfie, Photoshop. It used to just be Stalin who liked to change his photos, but now we all like to do it so that we look fantastic all the time. We don't have to look in photos like we really look. We can look as glorious as we wish we looked. But it's not just a modern thing, is it? We can look at makeup and perfume. We want to look and smell glorious. And we know that that's an obsession of ours, because if you go into any department store on the ground floor, you'll be lucky to make it through to the lifts before you pass out with the fumes coming from all the cosmetics. And then, of course, there's clothes shops. Why do we bother choosing clothes? I still believe what one of my children said, that we should all just have T-shirts with smart and casual and smart casual written on them so that we didn't have to choose. But we want to wear different clothes. We want to look glorious, or at least, as we get older, glorious enough. So the whole focus on how we look, I think, is a form of searching for glory, the glory of beauty. But it's not the only search for glory. There is this deep desire for glory. This summer, we were reminded of that in the Olympics, where you have the search for glory in success. The glory of individual being the greatest in the world, or the glory of being the nation with the most goals. Social media points us to the search for glory in fame. We want people to think well of us, to think of us as glorious. There is, of course, the age-old glory of possessions, the possessions we have that set us out as being a step above our phones, our cars, our houses, our holidays, our clothing again, all ways in which we want to be glorious. And then, of course, there's the glory that's found in power, the search for glory and greatness. It's why power matters to us so much. It's why over the past year, the news has been dominated by the search for power, whether it be in Europe or in America. And the desire to be great or to be led by someone great. And then, of course, there's the search for glory in goodness. Just being a good chap or chapess, in being well thought of as being the person who does the right thing, who is honest and hardworking, the glory of goodness. So glory is a word that describes this deep search we have. But at its heart, it is a frustrated search, because behind each of these different ways of searching for glory, there is a hidden ugliness, or even sometimes not hidden. So in the Olympics, we have drugs cheats. And we know, to be honest, that the wealthier countries will win more golds. It's not just faster, higher and stronger. It is also wealthier. And power, obviously, is ugly. It obviously leads to an ugliness. It leads to an ugliness as we talk about it. Were you fascinated by both the American election and the EU referendum that it's not enough to simply disagree with each other anymore? We must paint those with whom we disagree as evil, stupid, and selfish. And then, of course, there's the cult of power, the powerful leader that so often rise to prominence and are causing such devastation in Syria and elsewhere around the world. And yes, the power of fame, social media. But in it, there is this ugliness of narcissism and fakery. We are like Christmas baubles, beautiful on the outside, all to hide the fact that we fear that we are hollow on the inside, or even worse, that there is something hidden there that we don't want to show anyone else. And the glory of possessions leads to the fear of missing out. I've got my mobile phone, but then I see David's is better. And I think, oh, I must get a better one. And that leads to either debt or waste. Most of us will have storage places where things we once thought were glorious are now hidden away. Ours is our loft. I don't recommend any of you ever go up there. It's a frightening time. Even the glory in goodness has an ugly side. Partly because we know that too often our heroes have feet of clay. But also because we know we have feet of clay. And because there is that holier-than-thou attitude that comes with the pursuit of glory in goodness. And of course, the glory of beauty is perhaps the saddest one of all, doomed to fail. We are like Canute before the tide, trying to get it to go back when inevitably it will swamp us. So it is a frustrated search for glory, which is why Christmas is so wonderful. Because Christmas tells us that it needn't be this way, that there is the possibility of glory without ugliness. And we see it in the John reading we're about to have. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus' glory, a beauty, a glorious beauty, but not in externals. As Isaiah says elsewhere in the Bible, there was nothing about his appearance which would attract us to him. And we see that in his birth, born in a dirty feeding trough, wrapped in used cloths. No, externally there is nothing remarkable, but his beauty comes from the brightness of a pure heart. And as for the glory found in success, his glorious success would not be found in beating others, but in serving others. In his competition, he will choose to lose his life so that we can win eternal life. And the glory of power in Jesus, a different way of power, power in weakness, power that allows itself to be mocked and whipped and crucified, a power that will stand firm to what is good when evil comes, even allowing evil to take his life, because through his death he would defeat it. And a glory in prosperity, not in dissatisfaction and an entitlement that grasps for more, but found in thankfulness and contentment with enough, born in a borrowed stable, forced to live as a refugee. And when he starts his working life, giving up his home and all his riches on earth, just as he had already done in heaven. And yet, the only truly content man who ever lived. And a glory found in fame. But here, not seeking after the aim of being thought well of by many people, but the fame of being thought well of by the greatest one of all, his heavenly Father. And goodness, the glory of goodness, he didn't just give to charity. He wasn't just honest and kind, but he gave his life in perfect obedience. And it's a wonderful thing in Christmas to see this vision of glory, glory without the ugliness. But there is a problem in this. It's illustrated actually by Jesus later on in John's Gospel. He says this: this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light. Why? Well, Jesus says, because their deeds were evil. You see, suddenly I see myself standing next to Jesus, and his glory is dazzling to me. It doesn't matter if we're still young enough to look forward to hoped for glory, or we've got to later in life and we look back and hope that maybe we've been glorious enough. Or maybe we're in our 40s in the midlife crisis and we don't know which one to choose yet. It doesn't matter. When we stand by Jesus, we see that we fall far, far short. So what has gone wrong? Well, in the new year, we're doing something new at St. Patrick's. It's called Life Explored. And in it, there's an illustration of the mirror. And it says that as human beings, we were made to be mirrors to reflect God's glory. So if things were as they were meant to be, if I was as I was meant to be, you would look at me and you would think that I was glorious. Because when you looked at me, you would see God reflected in me. You would see me like you would see Jesus. But then it goes on to say, but we have taken our mirrors and we have used them and pointed them elsewhere. And we've abused ourselves by scratching them and drawing over them. And they become cracked. And they do reflect a bit of God's glory. That's our great moments. But there is huge ugliness there as well. Paul in Romans says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But this is the second bit of great news about Christmas. Because yes, Christmas is a slightly uncomfortable time for us, a very uncomfortable time, as we see the glory of Jesus. But there is good news if we come to him. Listen to the prayer he says for his followers later on in John's Gospel. I have given them the glory that you gave me. It turns out we can rediscover this glory by coming to Jesus. That's what Life Explored encourages us to do. It looks at all the ways in which we seek fulfillment, good things in their own right, things given by God. And then it shows that how through them we can find the true glory, which is Jesus. Amen.